Hello and welcome to this Winston's Wish podcast. It's the first one. My name's Dom, I'm from Winston's Wish. And the topic we wanted to talk about today was about what it's like returning to school after someone's died, or after the summer holidays or a holiday, what it's like to return to school with maybe different thoughts or feelings and how we cope with that as well. I'm joined by the lovely Laura.
Hello.
And hopefully we'll just have a conversation around some of our experiences, what we have heard from young people and families that we've met throughout our working life, but also within our personal lives too. Where should we start?
Good question.
I think for me, like, what's really powerful, like what I can remember, you can tell it's the first podcast. I don't know what to say. I think something that's really powerful that sticks with me is one of the young people that I used to work with, who said that they really wanted to go back to school after their dad died in the summer holidays. So it was 3 weeks after dad died, and her older brother didn't want to go back to school. He wanted to spend more time with mum, but she wanted to see her friends and have a bit more, she called it kind of normality,
mm-hmm.
where actually she could go and be in school, have fun, kind of not enjoy maths. But all of those things were still like the same time. She knew what to expect. And actually that was quite supportive for her, she said. But what she found really difficult was walking into the class and then everyone looking at her.
Did they all know?
Yeah, so she said that her mum had explained to one of the teachers, who then passed on that information, and she knew, and she was part of that conversation, which she said, yeah, in reflection, was really helpful, because she didn't have to just tell everyone, because that was quite a challenge for her. I suppose it's her managing all of those thoughts and feelings as you walk through the class. Like, you probably, I imagine she was thinking before she walks up to school and then opens the door, thinking about what reaction she'll get. And I think that's maybe something I want to talk about later on, is like the different reactions that different people have, because some of her best friends were supportive and some of her other best friends were just didn't know what to say, and that created a bit of friction and difficulty in some of her relationships as well.
Yeah, and just picking up on another point that you made of wanting normality and it actually being okay to have fun, and it's okay to have nice moments still with your friends, even though the worst has happened, it doesn't mean you've forgotten about what's happened and you just need to carry on hating maths.
Yeah, exactly. Or the teacher, or someone else,
yeah.
Or the person that's always annoying, because they might not be. Yeah, they might not suddenly become your friend because something bad has happened. I think for me, the strong message that comes from young people and parents as well that we speak to is that fun is a really important part of their coping and their life. And often children sometimes feel that, yeah, they can't have fun because something sad's happened. And if they're having fun, does that mean that they're not remembering or they're not paying their respects?
End up feeling guilty sometimes for having the fun.
Yeah, and I sometimes think, I don't know how helpful it is, I think some families do say that it's helpful, is to ask what would the person who's died, what would their wishes or wants for you to be? Would they want you to be upset or struggling or having difficulties with relationships, or would they want you to have fun? And what are the messages that you think that they'd be giving you? And sometimes that can be quite reassuring, but that doesn't necessarily help sometimes when someone's staring at you, or you're trying to think about what they're thinking, or if they're judging you, or I spoke with a lad a few months ago, who was explaining that he realised that not everyone would be talking or thinking about him as well, because what he started to worry about kind of opening up that door and going into his tutor group is that everyone would be talking about him. But he soon realised that actually people weren't. Some people just didn't care or register or know that it was a big deal for him.
Because I suppose all of those people also have things happening in their lives. And that goes for teachers as well sometimes, and that can affect their ability to support a child. Their own personal experience of grief can impact on the type of support they might give.
I suppose you never know what's going on in someone's head unless unless you're actually talking about it. And I think that's where I think it's really helpful for teachers or for schools to have a safe space for someone to go to just share that. And that doesn't have to be talking, that could be writing things down or drawing or just a space where you can be creative or express some of that. Be that like a lunch club or a kind of after school club or something like that. But I think there's a lot of schools that are supportive, but we also hear sometimes from young people that some schools or teachers don't seem to get it. And I think that's where it can be really helpful for young people to talk about that, to talk about how that makes them feel, either with someone that they trust, like a mum or a dad or whoever's at home, so that you don't have to confront the teachers yourself. You might want to write down your thoughts or ideas, or say that you just want some space or an opportunity to come out of class once in a while. If something's triggered a tough feeling or you're getting teary, I hear it all the time from young people who, like, there's exam stress and all sorts of stuff that always happens in schools. You're not going to get on with everyone and you're not going to enjoy all the subjects, but there's some things that you're going to really enjoy. But when you're not enjoying something that you feel that you should be and you're getting a bit stressed and overwhelmed, just being able to just put your hand up or make a sign to a teacher or have a little pass out card. I know that some young people have had like a yellow or a red card where they've just been able to show the teacher and go out and then meet somewhere within school where they can meet someone and have a chat, and it just gives them a space to breathe and either kind of check their phone, or I don't know how many schools let phones in these days showing my age. I think most people sneak phones in pockets of blazers anyway these days, but it gives, I think the school day is something that, you know, it's not going to be rosy all the time.
And also, when it does sometimes feel like you're not getting the support that you would like for yourself or for your child, isn't always for any fault of the school or teacher. If they're not trained or they don't know what to say, sometimes people panic about talking about it and they want to say the right thing, but they don't know what that is. And like we often say to families, that the worst thing has happened and talking about it won't make it worse, but it might make it better. But some people just find it really difficult to know what to say, and that's fair enough.
I suppose it's you want people to put themselves in your shoes in a way, but also it might be helpful for sometimes you to put yourself in their shoes, because I think, like you said, there's sometimes teachers who might be going through their own stuff or bereavement, or they might not be able to cope themselves and not want to open up, whereas others, I think you'll find within a school there's always going to be some who you really get along with, who maybe they might be the people that you already have a good relationship with, that it comes a bit more naturally, that you're able to talk and share things with.
Because it's important as well about it not defining the person. I've had families saying to me that they really don't want it to be the only thing that everybody knows about that child. So it's going back to the way a child might feel as they walk in the door, and they think that that's all everybody's thinking, when they might not be. They might be thinking, oh, I like your backpack. But it can feel like that's all anybody knows about me now that my mum, dad, sibling has died. So sometimes I suppose some support staff in schools maybe don't want to continuously ask if the child's okay, because there's more to that child than their bereavement.
Yeah, and there's quite a few families that I've met where parents have said, I don't know when it's okay to just keep saying, are you okay? Mm. Do you want to talk? Because they feel that they're just frustrating the young people or their children. So I try to kind of think about how they can ask the children to get a bit of a barometer to say, hey, like, yeah, I was just thinking, like, what would I want as a young person?
Mm.
You know, when I was a young person, you know, I kind of want some decisions. I want to be able to be empowered to kind of be listened to and to be able to say, like, I'd really like if an adult would have said, I'm thinking about doing it this way. What are your thoughts?
Mm.
Would you like me to ask a question quite directly to say, are you worried about something, or are you missing Dad today? If you notice it, it's the anniversary.
Mm.
Or do I feel less comfortable with that? So if an adult's asking me, what would be a better way to ask? So
yeah.
I'd be involved in that conversation.
Mm. I know some children who have made folders to take into school, and they each year can give it to their new teacher or teaching assistant, support staff, and it contains all of the important information, the information that the child feels is really important for those people spending every day with them to know. And that can be sort of the facts about what happened, but also things about what to do when I feel sad, and if I'm sad, my behaviour might look like this.
Yeah.
And also a note about those important dates, the anniversary, birthdays, things like that, and ideas. I know of schools do things like memory bracelets and things on those days. Equally, some children may just want no extra attention on those days.
I suppose if the teachers or even friends don't know what to say, it's almost like you've got to educate them.
Yeah.
You've got to say, well, actually, this is how I want to be treated. Do you think you can manage that?
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done.
Yes.
But I suppose what I'm a fond believer of is if you rehearse, so like be that in front of the mirror with a hairbrush, you know, or like that was me singing, actually, that's what I do at home. But, you know, being able to kind of rehearse your lines and say, how can I? Because I think that's what we do generally, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, if there's something stressful, something that's worrying us, we might replay it in our head to think about the different scenarios that might happen and how I might respond to that and what language I might use.
Yeah.
So being able to do that at home or with someone that you trust or a friend that you know that you can talk to.
Yeah.
And
I suppose whilst also remembering that grief is individual. So somebody could be so fully trained on how to speak to somebody, however, there will always be a difference from one child to the next about how you need to speak to them. And on that day, they may have responded really well to that way you spoke, and then on another day, that's not the right way.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean you're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, just sort of trying and figuring out with them what they need on that particular day, because, you know, one sad day they might need a hug, and another sad day that might be the last thing that they need.
Yeah, don't touch me.
So it's just sort of being led by the bereaved person as well.
Yeah, and I suppose what's tricky is, you know, sometimes you might not want to go to school anyway.
Mm. Yes.
You know? So what's the difference between, you know, really feeling grief and having a really tough day with emotions and missing someone and feeling angry that it's happened, or questions that, like, in your mind that are overwhelming about why has this happened to me, and, you know, how am I going to deal with it, or worrying about Mum, or how do you differentiate, you know, what's one of those days and just actually I can't be bothered to go into school.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that happens, and
of course.
I suppose that's just about how we manage our motivation and what we tell ourselves. Because everyone's got different relationships. Everyone's unique, aren't they?
Yeah.
So everyone will have a unique experience or relationship with school.
Mm.
And so therefore it makes sense to say that, you know, going back to school after someone's died, that would also be a unique experience for them.
Yeah.
Some people, I hear it from lots of young people that they get the judge of who is kind and who isn't fairly quickly because of the content of what they say. If they are genuinely caring, they might say, "Are you okay?" And you know, that's quite a powerful thing sometimes. Mm. Whereas others, you know, just because they're not saying anything, it doesn't mean that they don't care.
Yeah.
It might be that they just can't, they don't know what to say and they don't want to say anything wrong.
Mm. And I suppose that is quite a mature understanding of people to know, oh, that person's not saying anything, but it doesn't mean they don't care about me.
Mm.
So a younger child may struggle to know that that's maybe why somebody isn't responding.
Yeah.
And that in itself could be really difficult if they're seeking support and then they're not really getting back what they need.
Because
when you're that young, you don't even know what you need. You don't even know what it is that's going to make it okay. You just hope that the adult will get it right. Mm. So, yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah. I think... I was trying to think about things that have helped or things that young people have told us that have helped when they go back to school.
Mm.
So, like, one of the things one of the girls I worked with had said is being able to have a little team around her of friends that she's already kind of text or messaged to say, I think it might be tough me going back to school, so can you just look after me for the next couple of days? You know, it's
That's
just
nice.
Such a really, it's quite a simple strategy, but that knew that she had a couple of friends who were looking out for her.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that you have to face that day alone. And I think, you know, teachers, they have a job to kind of help people learn, but also they've got a duty to help you feel comfortable where you are.
Yeah, and feel able to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think most teachers, if you were able to share somehow, even if that's writing it down or getting someone else to tell them or getting a parent or a carer in to tell them how you're feeling, that you might just need, a couple of breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe start doing a half day or go in to see how it feels.
Yeah.
And then build up to getting work or classes or... Because, usually it's... if someone... I don't know why I said usually. But if someone dies and that person is a parent or a sibling or someone really close to you, that's obviously going to be the dominating thought or feeling rather than, I've got to do maths now.
Mm-hmm.
Like... You almost think, what's the point of maths, like
yeah.
in comparison to someone's
yeah.
life?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's finding a balance between these are the things that would have happened anyway, even if someone hadn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
Life kind of does continue and go on, and it isn't about getting over someone's death, but it's about learning to cope with still continuing with life, and how can you, think about that person's life rather than just the death as well.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that, entering the classroom or entering through the school gates, that kind of difficult bundle of emotions you might feel as the person returning to school. And there may be ways for that to be managed in a way to help. So rather than sort of being the last person to enter the classroom, hopefully you might be one of the first with your key friends that you've established, like you said earlier, and then perhaps everyone else is coming in gradually, or I suppose you'll meet in the playground and line up together, so to feel less like an individual walking into a room of knowledge of what's happened. And I suppose sometimes there's a return to school at the same time as everyone else is returning, if the bereavement is during a holiday from school, and that can alter the sort of spotlight being on somebody returning. Families have said things like an ease up of the amount of homework and things like that can really lift the pressure, because I suppose some children and young people may just throw themselves into their schoolwork so intensely almost as a distraction that they may end up piling enormous amounts of pressure onto themselves, which may not be helpful.
Yeah.
But like you say, there's almost the stages. It's getting back into the classroom and feeling comfortable. So for the first few days, you may not do any work. It might just be about being back.
Yeah.
Being there and just getting back into routine.
Cool. We've been handed a little note just to help us think about some questions. It's our first podcast, by the way, guys. So one of the questions is, how does primary compare to secondary? I suppose in terms of my experience from what I've heard from families, there's some similarities but also differences. When you're at primary school, you're often taken by your parents or by someone, mm-hmm. or some people might get a bus or whatever. Mm-hmm. But being able to, the situation where you're at the school gates and you know that dad may have dropped you off before,
yeah.
but mum is not there, so something's different. So it might be mum or someone else dropping you off,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing other parents or other dads. You know, there's lots of children that I've met that have shared that's really frustrating, and they also feel a bit guilty for being jealous, and they kind of labelled that as a jealousy. But I suppose it's not being so critical on yourself for comparing yourself and wanting, because sometimes that is you're missing that person, and it doesn't mean that you're thinking badly of other people, but it means that you really want that. And you really miss that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the predominant kind of things about kind of primary school, and the children that I work with that are at primary school, that say that going back to school after summer holidays, sometimes it is that, I'm probably waffling now.
That's okay.
But seeing those people and waiting for pickup time, that can be quite worrying.
Yeah.
And not necessarily being able to articulate yourself as you can in secondary school.
Yeah.
And like with secondary, I suppose, you know, you might already be like going to school on your own or be picked up by someone else,
mm-hmm.
and they're often bigger places, aren't they? So there's not everyone that knows you, or you might be meeting new people who don't know your situation, because they may have never met your dad, and suddenly you're in the school playground and someone asks you, like, oh, what does your dad do?
Yeah.
And so how you respond to that is going to be how comfortable you feel with telling them.
I suppose secondary as well is a time of life that's difficult anyway. It's difficult. You're changing, you're learning things about yourself, and puberty and hormones flying around. I did say the P word. So it's a difficult time anyway. You're, you know, figuring out who you are, and you know, friendships come and go. Maybe like boyfriends, girlfriends come and go. So it's a big time of change and discovery and loss and identity anyway.
Mm.
So to then have the loss of somebody who was your stable, continuous figure at that time can really sort of turn your world upside down.
Mm.
I suppose my experience personally was losing somebody at primary school age, and I think for me it was a feeling of no one will really understand. I remember not being able to really explain it to people, but what you said earlier about having that sort of one good friend. And I think I was allowed to choose who I sat by in the classroom, things like that, which really, really helped. And so that for me feels like a big difference than when you go up to secondary school and you've got, obviously, towards the second half of it, you're focusing on exams, things like that. There's all those pressures which, you know, you can't help when they arrive in your timeline of school. And if you are to suffer a bereavement, or even if it was a long time before that, but the emotions are coming up around that time, it must be really hard to try and still focus.
And I suppose it's thinking, you've made me think about like anniversaries. So if an anniversary is in the summer holidays, you know, who have you had and how do you commemorate those? You know, are they kind of a celebration of life, and are they fun, or are they really difficult times actually? Because each person and within each family's response can be really different.
Yeah.
And some people feel that it's appropriate to have that sadness and a space for reflection, whereas I know that there's other individuals within families that really just want to have fun and do something that they really enjoy.
Yeah.
And what the person would have enjoyed.
Yeah, like have their favourite meal.
Yeah.
Or watch their favourite film.
Yeah. Or go to a place that
yeah.
was that they liked. I always think like people, places and things can be really helpful
mm.
to think about the people around you that you want, the places that provide you comfort, and the things that you do to look after yourself or
yeah.
make you feel good. Because you don't have to feel sad.
No.
You know, I think that's what's important, is that you should never be told how to feel, because
yeah.
your feelings are yours. And what I was thinking about, like the difference between primary and secondary, is that often, like children within primary school are at that age where you don't know how to. My brain's just gone. Can't think. Where was I?
You almost don't know yourself. What do I need to do on this day?
Yeah.
And perhaps somebody else decides for you what you're going to do to mark that day.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes when you're younger, you don't necessarily have a concept of, oh, on this day 3 years ago, my important person died.
Yeah.
So I need to do such and such. Sometimes it can be an okay day.
Yeah.
And maybe when you see the date written down, you might think, but sometimes the build up to that day, you can assume you'll feel sad, then you don't. But it could be on a random day of the year that you feel upset.
Yeah.
My experience of that when I was at primary school was there was less of an understanding of why I would be upset on a random day, whereas there was much more understanding if it was the anniversary or her birthday or
mm.
something. But you could just be upset in the playground, and
yeah.
I remember being asked, oh well, what's brought this on? And you can immediately feel like, well, I'm 8 years old, I don't really understand it, I'm just upset. So yeah, that kind of feeling of not really understanding it, you just know you're upset.
Yeah, you really helped me there as well, Laura. Just thinking about what I was trying to say earlier was that anything within kind of primary school, you wouldn't have met lots of people who have experienced death. So often
yeah.
it's you might be the only person in the class, or someone might say that their dog has died, which can be really
huge.
Really huge as
yeah.
well. But not necessarily the same,
yeah.
so that can create kind of yeah difficulties in understanding how each other are feeling.
Mm.
But like anything, like reading a book, like your favourite book, or something in the curriculum that has families or stories.
Mm.
I just think about history, that it's always about stories about people, and often families and roles within them, and English, and I suppose all the subjects.
Mm.
So what happens when you're reading a story and there's a character that's very similar to someone who died, or a storyline, like, you know, there's things like Romeo and Juliet with all sorts of things that are happening.
Yeah.
You know, how do you manage those kind of emotions and feelings and thoughts too?
Yeah.
But like with secondary school, I suppose you're in contact with generally people who may have experienced some sort of loss as well, some sort of bereavement, because schools are bigger, secondary schools generally are bigger. I know that's not for every school, some schools are smaller, but because you've lived a bit more life, you probably would have experienced a little bit more or know more people who have died, be that grandparents or other family or friends. So I think it's the stuff that you read as well, so things like, I use Harry Potter as an example because lots of young people that I work with talk about it, about kind of yeah, the struggle between life and death and good and bad, and how your imagination can run wild as a child
yeah.
of any age.
Yeah.
And if you're at school and if you're at secondary school and you're involved in kind of drama or art or those kind of creative things, that's a way of expressing some of that and using your experiences to talk.
Yeah.
I know that was a bit of a leap in my mind, so I hope you followed me.
Yeah.
Got a few responses on Facebook after we kind of asked for people's experiences or thoughts about kind of returning to school, because we know that sometimes young people ask each other questions that they might not want to answer, or they might be struggling to kind of deal with emotions or feeling isolated. So we've got a few responses which I thought might be helpful to read out and maybe share thoughts as well. The first one's from Natcha, and she says, thanks to Winston's wish, I got the understanding of how good it was for my daughter to return to school. The school was brilliant and let her be as she wanted to be, offering her one-to-one when she needed it. For my daughter, school was much needed distraction.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really positive.
So I suppose it's feeding into what you were saying before, is that sometimes, that distraction might be a sense of normality or something to occupy yourself. Because it's often the quiet, silent times that you then start to think about stuff.
Yeah. And at school, if you've got a solid group of friends that otherwise, if you were sat at home, you wouldn't be seeing. So that can also add to the distraction, that you're the social side, the playing, the still being able to be a child.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that you're avoiding it. I suppose that's the thing. It's taking control and saying, I'm doing something. I'm having fun. I'm making sure that I'm going out and or doing something or reading a book so that, you're not just at home having multiple duvet days and feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, there's a time and place for those, but there's also a time and place for distraction. Yeah.
It's finding balance, isn't it?
Okay, so we have another one here from Emma, who said, my son is 7 now, and he lost his big brother in 2014. His big brother was 15 and he was 5. He spent this evening crying in my arms. He is not over it, and sometimes I don't know what to do for the best. In July, I took the choice to take him out of school. He just couldn't face it some days. I need to make sure that I can get him through this and that he is strong, the only way that I know how. He seems happier and I am not so worried. School didn't work for him at this moment.
Yeah. I suppose my thoughts on that is that, at the time, that's a really poignant thing at the end. It's not working for him at the moment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it won't do. But I think as a parent, you often have to trust some of your instincts. And there's other ways to educate and kind of provide that space and time to grieve or to think about yourself and your relationships. And it's not ever for us at Winston's Wish to kind of tell you what the right or wrong thing to do is, but to hopefully explore kind of all the different possible options.
Yeah.
Because that can often lead you to be. Yeah.
And just to pick up on the bit where Emma says, the only way I know how. And I think it's really interesting because a big part of our job is to also help reassure parents and caregivers that what they are doing is amazing often, and it's the best that they can do, and it's just about being good enough. It's not about being incredible people, but
because it's not like you have ever been in this situation before, and that you've suddenly got a toolkit that you can use and you think this is going to solve everything.
But you can often end up feeling that you then need to be two parents in one. It's a lot of pressure, and you think you need to know all of the answers, but you know, just doing what you know to do and what you know makes your children okay is the best thing you can be doing.
So we've got one from Olivia. So that routine definitely helps. Silly comments from children don't help. I think schools need some more training in bereavement to help children grieving, and in turn teach each other to be more respectful. I think it differs from school to school how effective they are at supporting children. I think unfortunately, if there's been a bereavement within the school before, often they may have sought help or know how to create space for children to reflect or share memories or think of things in a positive way, as well as give space for some of that sadness or all the difficult stuff. So I think, yeah, spot on in terms of what I've heard, is that routine kind of does help, because children need routine, and adults need routine as well, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it offers a bit of, like, safety, doesn't it? To know, even if you're sort of on autopilot for the beginning of it, to know you got through that Monday, then you got through Tuesday, then you got through Wednesday, helps you to know, okay, I can get through a bit more.
Yeah.
Because the routine's sort of guiding you.
Yeah, and I think there's always, unfortunately, there's always going to be some people who, don't get it, or those people who might be out to upset someone if they're struggling with their own emotions themselves.
Yeah.
So if, like, we know that bullying does exist within schools, and we hear it quite a lot that, you know, if someone's feeling, quite angry, they often will use something that they know is going to hurt. So in some cases, that's children saying, well, I'm glad your mum died. You know, and how overwhelming and how tough that is for someone to hear at any age, actually.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's really important that schools take bereavement seriously and are able to kind of share ways of looking after each other.
Yeah.
Because, we can all say that bullying is just not helpful, but it's the comments that are genuinely made by mistakes.
Yes.
I think that can also hurt sometimes too.
Yeah.
So maybe if it was in the curriculum, I know that some schools do, don't they? They kind of have opportunities to go to a memorial tree, or they have a friendship bench for people who are bereaved, and they can go there, and it's almost part of their curriculum about sharing how to be kind to people if they're going through something tough.
Yeah,
that's
great.
So I think we've probably spoken for enough, probably bored a few people out there. Hopefully we sent a few people to sleep, depending on when you're listening to this.
Hopefully you've offered some reassurance.
Yeah, and I think this is only the first podcast, so hopefully we'll get better and have some cool guests and people to speak, and would really like people to kind of share their views too.
Yeah.
Because I think sharing is caring, and if we don't, we're not born with all the answers, are we?
No, and that's where the richness comes from, is learning from the families.
Yeah, so I suppose ending, we should really kind of invite anyone who is worried or just has a concern or has a question about how to support bereaved children. And for that, you can call our free helpline number, which is 08088 020021. We should get a little jingle going, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So that's 08088 020021, and that's open from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And they're lovely people who staff the helpline, so they'll be able
to
have a chat to you, just to listen to any questions that you have, and be a soundboard for ideas that you've got.
No, there's no stupid reason for phoning the helpline.
No, totally. So thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we look forward to maybe making some more podcasts if people are listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.